Well, if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew, the sixth chapter, and we're going to talk about something that is absolutely life-changing. And this is the truth. It will change our life if we do it, and it will change our life if we don't do it.
That's right.
This is something that is not a whether we do or don't, it's not a big deal. It is we are free if we do it, we are in bondage if we don't. So it's a pretty big deal. In Matthew, the sixth chapter, in verse 12, as Jesus is teaching the Lord's Prayer, he says, "And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors." Then if you skip down to verse 14, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you." First of all, not much gray area in what he said.
No.
Pretty straightforward. To be forgiven, we must be forgiving people. It's really interesting to note that that is the only part of the prayer that he says anything else about. The rest of the prayer, he just prays it, says this is how you're supposed to do it. But after he finishes the prayer, he comes back to this and says, forgiveness is absolutely essential to our lives.
Yeah.
We've got to know what forgiveness is and how it works.
Yeah.
And I think there is a lot of teaching on forgiveness that is not accurate. So if you look at the very last thing on the note on the notes there, that word release is huge. And I would encourage you to circle it because it will come up over and over and over again. There is a part of forgiveness that is simply release. And what that means is I'm not going to allow this issue to constantly define me. I'm not going to allow what has happened to constantly define me. But there is another word called reconcile or reconciliation. Forgiveness is not necessarily reconciliation. Because for reconciliation to occur, for a relationship to come back together, somebody has to admit they're wrong and make it right. There are going to be people in our life that never do that for us. But we still have the responsibility to release them. It worked on the cross because if you think about it, Jesus said from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." But not everybody is saved. Not everybody is reconciled to Christ, but he said on the cross, forgive them. He is saying, release them from this because this is what you meant to happen. But to be reconciled to him, we have to admit we're wrong.
Yeah.
If that is true of God, that is true of us. That we're not going to be reconciled to everybody. There are people who owe us apologies. We can forgive them in that we are releasing that bondage. I'm not going to stay under that issue for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
But we can't be reconciled to them until they make it right. So I want to first of all get that clear in our minds as we go through this. Because I was never taught that. And so I would feel like, well, if I'm not buddy-buddy with them again, then I haven't forgiven them. And nothing could be further from the truth. Sometimes the only way we can forgive people is to get away from them. I can't believe nobody wrote that down because I sure needed that. I have needed that my whole life. Sometimes the only way to forgive people is to be away from them. I can't forgive some people if I've got to be around them all the time. Because the issue stays the same, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
They're still doing the same things that hurt, and they don't care if it hurts. So sometimes the only way I can be released and I can release them is to say, I got to let them go. And if down the road we can work that out, that's fine. But for right now, I release them, but I'm not reconciled to them. Lewis Smedes did an incredible book on forgiveness. He actually has a few books on forgiveness. And he talks about the forgiveness path. And he says, in the forgiveness path, we hurt. So something happened that hurt us. We hate. Now, I know in Christianity, we don't like to use that word. But it means we're just to the point, I can't be around them. I can't talk to them. I don't even want to see them. And even as God's people, we have that moment. We have that time. And then we heal. And the thing is, we don't want to stay in the hurt. We don't want to stay in the hate. We want to get to where we're healed. And forgiveness is the path that heals us. There are two things that mark the Christian life. One is giving, and the other is forgiving. Christians are generous, and Christians are forgiven. And when you see either of those things lacking in your life or in the life of a church body, it's something that needs to be addressed. And yet, it's difficult to address. It's difficult to tell people you're not giving enough. You know, because then, well, I mean, I guess it's good in that now they can practice forgiveness. But, but you know, it's hard to tell people you're not generous enough. You don't give enough. And yet, bitterness and anger and all of those things tend to come when we're not giving. Those things tend to happen when we're not generous. Because generosity and giving is outward focus. And the more outward focused we become, the less we're concerned about our own hurts and so forth. Now, even if we're very generous, there's still going to be stuff that happens, and we have to learn to forgive. And I remember going through a really, really difficult time in my life. And I had a 5-hour drive. And it was going to be a good 5-hour drive because I was going to lay out to God all of the ways that he was wrong and why I was being wronged and why everything had to change and I was the one being treated unfairly and all of that. In fact, I thought a 5-hour drive may not be long enough. I may need to extend this to 10 or 12 hours because I had a lot to say. So I ranted and I raved and all of that. And I don't reference this glibly. After I had finished, there was just this moment of silence. And then I sensed the Holy Spirit speaking. And he first of all said, "Are you done?" And I was like, "Yes." And God said, "There's only two ways out of what you're going through. You're going to have to give, and you're going to have to forgive." I did not want to hear that. I wanted to hear how everybody else was wrong. I wanted to hear what he was going to do to other people. I wanted to give him advice on what he should do to other people because I'm hurt. Please understand this. We are going to get hurt. We live in a fallen world, and we are going to get hurt. We are going to get emotionally exhausted. I read a thing probably 10 years ago that really helped me, and it was about compassion fatigue. That sometimes the people we love so much and we give everything to literally wear us out to the point that it's difficult to love as richly and as deeply as we want to. Because we're just tired. When you're tired, you're more irritable. When you're tired and physical tired, we kind of recognize. We kind of know when that happens. Emotional tired is, in my opinion, a worse kind of tired. Because we can't connect. Even when we're with people and we're really enjoying it, we just can't really be there because we're so washed out inside. We're so exhausted. I know we've all had this in our life, but when you're just in tense situations all the time, where it's just tense continually, even if you're not a part of it, it's just people around you that are upset with each other, it is so exhausting. Because you're just like, I can't take this. I feel like I'm a rope in a tug of war. And I just wish somebody had win so they drop it. I just wish something had happened so the tension would be released and we could just move on. And these are the realities of what we face in our life. And we've got to allow God to touch us at those points in our life. And giving and forgiving is his path to help us restore our soul, as the psalmist says, and to allow our cup to run over. there are three things that I think we need to forgive. And the first one is going to sound weird. We need to forgive God. Now, if somebody had told me this 15 years ago, I would immediately thrown it aside and said, that is blasphemous. God never makes a mistake. God has never done anything wrong. God is morally perfect. Why should I, as a sinful human being full of flaws, forgive God? But keep in mind, forgiveness is release. And what I am talking about is not forgiving him in the sense that he did something wrong and we forgive him. I am talking about releasing him from the expectations he did not fulfill. Releasing God from the, I thought this was going to happen and it didn't happen. And quite frankly, if I don't release him from those expectations, my expectations can begin to expire. To where I get to the point of thinking, well, it all depends on me anyway. Because I prayed and nothing happened. I gave it to the Lord and it didn't wind up the way that I thought it would. I tried to do what he told me to do, and it still got messed up. So even though I still believe in him, even though I will still worship him, even though I will still read his word, and even though I will still pray, I'm going to live life as though it depends on me. That is not how he intended us to live. But look, it's just us, all right? It's how most of us live.
Yeah.
Spiritually, it's how most of us live. When I was 10 years old, I think I was 10, took my first airplane ride. Now, I was supposed to leave on the airplane about 2 or 3 weeks later. But my grandmother, my mom's mom, had a massive aneurysm. Now, of course, at 10 years old, I didn't know what that meant. And I'm 49, and I'm still not totally clear what that meant. I've known people that had them, but she had a massive health issue, and her life was in the balance. So my parents switched my ticket, and then my mom flew with me, and we flew from Phoenix to St. Louis. And on the plane, I prayed for Grandma to get better. First, I prayed that we wouldn't crash because I was scared out of my mind. And then I prayed that my grandma would get better. And we were there, I think, 3 weeks. And every night I prayed that grandma would get better. And I remember when we pulled up to my cousin's house and my mom and my aunt were in the driveway. And they told us that grandma died. And at 10 years old, I was angry at God because I thought, you heal people in the Bible and my grandma loves you. Why would you not heal her? Was she not important enough to you? Are my prayers not important enough to you? Now, I'm not trying to twist scripture here, but I want you to think about something. Do you remember what Jesus said that we had to become like in order to enter the kingdom of heaven? Excellent. Like children. I didn't feel the need to pretend before God that I was not upset. I didn't feel a need to pretend that I understood. I didn't feel a need to hide it under some spiritual cloak of, well, I know she's in heaven now, and I know she's gone on to a better place. I get all that, okay? But the truth is, I prayed for my grandma to get better, and she didn't on this earth, and it hurt. If I cannot release God from not fulfilling my expectations, I'm going to hold it against God and stop praying for miraculous things to happen. And so it is important for me to release God. It is important for you to release God and say, look, this is what I thought was going to happen. You ever had God speak something to you, you did it, and it didn't work out good?
Yes.
I get upset about that. Wait a second, I did what you told me to do. And it still didn't work. I don't like the times that God just wants my obedience, regardless of what the results are. I don't really enjoy that. I'm like, okay, I'll obey, but some good stuff should happen if I obey. That's not how it works, but sometimes that's my expectation, and I need to release God from my expectation. I need to realize He owes me no explanation. He doesn't have to tell me why He did what He did. Here's the truth. If He explained it to us, we wouldn't understand it anyway. I mean, He's God. We're not. My thought is, I pray for kids and kids are protected. I pray for relationships and relationships are restored. I pray for sick people, they get better. That's what my expectation is. When it doesn't happen that way, even if God explained everything about why He answered the way He answered, I still wouldn't get it. I still wouldn't understand. I mean, the truth is, I have 66 books of people that didn't get what they were expecting. Hebrews 11 on its own teaches me that people followed God, believed in God, did everything, and they died not having obtained all of the promise that God had for them. So that's true of Moses, if that's true of Noah, if that's true of Job, if that's true of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if that's true of all of these people throughout time, then if He explained it to me, I still wouldn't get it because I've already seen it happen. I already know it happened in other people's lives. And so I release Him from explaining. I release Him and just say, you know, the Bible says peace transcends my understanding. So the only way for me to come to a place of peace with God is to say, you don't owe me an explanation because I couldn't understand it anyway. I need peace that goes beyond what I can understand. Because the only thing that would have made sense to me is if it happened this way. And it didn't. So, release me from that. And give me a peace beyond what I can understand. I have to remember that I'm not the only person on earth. And my issue is one piece of a larger picture. If you took every prayer that is represented in this room, it's still such a small piece of the entire world. Now, please don't misunderstand that. That's not that it's insignificant. It's very important. But it's only one piece of this massive picture that I can't begin to understand. The world itself is a lot bigger than Pawhuska, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
The world itself is a lot bigger than the state of Oklahoma. The world itself is a lot bigger than the nation of the United States. I mean, when we start thinking about how big the world is and how many people are inhabiting it right now, and all of the prayers in all of the languages that are going up right now, I have to remember that God is not just out for my interest. He's not just out for our interest. He's not just out for the interest of the people I know. He is trying to do what is best to bring His kingdom. And my piece may not fit that puzzle. He knows how the pieces go together. I don't. He knows how things are supposed to happen. I don't. I don't get it. I have to remember that I'm just one part of a big puzzle. And that we are just one part of a big puzzle. and to release him from thinking, hey, I'm the only one here and I'm the only one you should care about, because it's simply not true. So we have to forgive God. We have to release him to be God. We have to understand that we don't get it. And this is the thing. God never gets offended by the fact that we don't get it. God never gets angry over the fact that we don't get it. He knows us. He created us. He realizes we're not him.
Yeah.
And it is okay to just go before him and say, in essence, God, I forgive you from the standpoint that I release you from my expectations. And I ask that you just be God. Mm-hmm. And I let go of this. I will never understand it. Yeah. It still hurts.
Yes.
I was convinced about a year ago when I heard that my friend Stan Toler had cancer. Because of his attitude, because of his age, because of everything. He was only 67. Most positive man I've ever met in my life. I was convinced. Oh, he's going to beat this. Not one day did I ever think this is going to be the end of his journey. Not one time did I think that. When we had pastors forum, he got up and introduced the speakers. And I noticed that he looked a lot different. He'd lost a lot of weight. Only time that I'd ever seen him look tired. And I just did what good godly folk did. I denied it. I was like, that's just a sign that he's getting better. And the treatment is done now and he's going to be okay. When they said they had called in hospice, I was like, oh, it's still going to be okay. For a guy that was doing everything that he was doing, and was still relatively young, I am not going to for one second pretend I get that. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to for one second pretend, oh, I'm okay with that, because I'm not. Mm-hmm. That man is one of the main reasons I'm doing what I'm doing, is one of the main reasons I'm in the Church of the Nazarene. In fact, he is the main reason I'm in the Church of the Nazarene. You don't let go of those things easily. And all of us have similar stories. You don't just move on from that and say, I'm okay with it. Mm-hmm. But we can release God and say, I don't get it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to get it. But you're God. Mm-hmm. My expectation was not met. I don't get it. But I'll live with it. But this is the thing. Forgiving God really comes down to saying, I just don't want there to be weirdness between me and you. Yeah. I don't want this issue to hang over our head. I don't get it. I don't understand it. But I don't want there to be weirdness between us. So I'm letting it go, realizing that you do all things well. And I'll let go of it. And then we've got to forgive ourselves. The greatest enemy is probably in me. It's that voice inside of us that reminds us of every failure, that reminds us of every flaw, and that tells us everything we're not. I understand that the devil does that to us. I understand there are other sources that do that to us, but the truth is we do it to ourselves. We should never be flippant about the fact that we were sinners, that we're flawed, and that we're messed up. We should never be cocky and arrogant about that. But the flip side is, so is everybody else we've ever met in our lives.
Yeah.
We're not alone, and we didn't do it better than anybody else did. And Jesus can forgive all sinners, and he forgave us. A person said something in a sermon, and I wish I could credit whoever I heard say it first. I've heard it several times since then. But he said, do you realize when you keep bringing up your past sins, it is a slap in the face to the one who died on the cross. I remember how much that took me back. I never thought of it that way. He died on the cross so that his blood could completely wipe out my sin. How dare I continue to bring up something that he gave up that much to cleanse? I've got to stop replaying it. I watch a lot of ball games, and there is one thing I hate in ball games more than anything else. When they make a call on the field, and then they stop the game to replay whether or not they got the call right. And for minutes on end, they're looking at one play over and over and over again. And I'm like, you either got the call right or you didn't.
That's what I think.
But just make a decision, for crying out loud. All of these guys are losing all the adrenaline they have to play the game. We're all disinterested now because I didn't really turn on the game to watch referees stand there with the thing looking at one play. And it just frustrates me because they're replaying it over and over and over again. And the only play that we get to see us home at home is that play because they want us to be able to make the call. Well, here's the thing. I'm going to just say that the call should have gone the way of the team I'm rooting for. I'm completely biased in all of those situations, so I can't give it. And besides, even if I get it right, nobody called me. Nobody cared what my opinion was. And I'm just like, I don't need to see this play over and over again. And I wonder if that's how God feels about us sometimes in the game of life. That we're just replaying an insignificant play over and over again. And we're not building any momentum. We're not scoring. We're not doing what we are on the earth to do. We're just replaying that one thing over and over again. Now, I can't forget, and you can't forget, everything we've done wrong. But I can tell you how you can get the devil to stop bringing it up. Every time it comes up, don't replay it, rejoice. And just say, I am so thankful that was cleansed. Thanks for bringing that up because I am so thankful that was cleansed. Thanks for bringing that up. I am so glad I don't live that way anymore. Thank you. You know, sometimes I don't feel like I've made that much progress, but since you brought that up, wow, I'm doing a lot better than I used to. Where do you go with a person who is not intimidated by their past? What can you do to a person who is not intimidated by their past? Who truly embraces my past is not my present. Who truly has pursued to the point I am where I am and I'm going to keep pursuing. And I'm not going to let the past trap me. I don't really have any interest in replaying something that happened 15 years ago. I don't want to replay something that happened 15 minutes ago. I've got somewhere I'm trying to go.
Yes.
So I'm just going to rejoice that my past is gone.
Yes.
I'm just going to rejoice that that's in my past. I can't change it. You can't change it.
Yeah.
We can't change what happened. But we can rejoice that it's not a present reality.
Yeah.
I'm not good at this. I still tend to dwell too much on the replays. But I'm growing in this, and I'm learning to say, I'm not going to replay it. I'm going to rejoice. I'm not going to replay something I can't change. The game's over.
Yeah.
I used to watch a lot of old games. That I would have on tape or that I would have that and I'd replay it. Finally, one day I realized something. Once a game's done, the outcome is always the same. If my team lost on a last-second shot, I can watch it on tape. That shot's still going to go in. My team is still going to lose. And even if they won, it was 20 years ago. It really doesn't make any difference now. The point is that replaying is not real in the sense that it's not current. And if I'm following the great I am, there's some things I just need to stop replaying. Doesn't mean we can't have good memories. Doesn't mean we can't talk about things. But it does mean I don't want to live and dwell in the past. God has forgiven me. I need to forgive myself. I need to say, Tony, you're cleansed. And you got somewhere to go. And you need to say that to yourself. You're cleansed. And you've got somewhere to go. That frees us to forgive others. I'm not going to take a vote, but I would like you to answer this to yourself, and you can answer out loud if you want. You ever struggled to forgive somebody? You ever just looked around and realized that God surrounded you with a lot of idiots? You know, I mean, it's good for me to say that I've already released him from it. I'm just saying, when I get to this point, I'm just like, there is, and I don't know what it is for you. People say God has a sense of humor, and I agree, but sometimes his sense of humor is just cruel. Because I can be doing pretty good, and I see the one person that can bring me down at any time, you know, in a Walmart or somewhere, and I'm like, that's the one person I did not need to see right now. Yeah. Because it is hard for me sometimes to let go of what people have done. When we are mentally, physically, and spiritually right, we don't enjoy pain. There are people who do enjoy pain, and it's usually because of some sort of illness, be it mental, physical, whatever, there is some sort of illness that makes them like pain. But when we are healthy, we don't like pain. We don't enjoy it. We don't slam our finger in the door and say, man, I'm so thankful that only happens once in a while. In that moment, we are overwhelmed with that pain in that moment. Now, does it heal? Yeah. But have you ever noticed that, like, if you slam your thumb in the door, it'll stop throbbing, but then you'll reach over to do something and realize you can't grip it? Or you'll bump it on something and the pain will flare up? That happens to us emotionally when people hurt us. It maybe doesn't throb anymore, but something happens and that pain just shoots through us. Here's what I encourage you to do. Let it be a sign of forgiveness rather than a sign of present hurt. Allow that pain to bring you back to the cross and to say, God, you forgave me. And you forgave me through pain. That was the only way I could be saved, was through the pain of Jesus Christ. So that pain that I feel, allow me to turn it into forgiveness. And to say like you did on the cross, Father, release them from this. I remind you that it does not mean we will be reconciled and buddy-buddy with them. Jesus said, whatever house we enter, let your peace rest upon it. If they will not receive it, he said, let your peace return to you. sometimes all I can do is shake the dust off my feet and let my peace return. To say, Lord, I still hurt from it. But the truth is, I don't know what would cause somebody to do that. I don't know why they felt that way about me, said that about me, did this to me, whatever the case is, I don't get it. But I don't want to be bound to that for the rest of my life. I don't want to be bound to those words. I don't want to be bound to that action. I don't want to be bound to that for the rest of my life. So I release them because you said that if I can't release them, you can't release me. But if I release them, you will release me. And I have to make a decision sometimes, and so do you, and that is, do I want to be right with God or do I want my reward from them? Do I want my relationship with God or do I want what they owe me? Now, that sounds simple, but it's not. And it is where I have to deny myself, take up my cross, and follow Jesus and realize it's still not right what they did. It's still not fair what was done. It's still wrong. But since I am following the way, the truth, and the life, I don't want my life to be defined by wrong. So I will not allow them to define me. One person put it this way. To hold unforgiveness is to drink poison and think the other person will die. That's a powerful statement. To hold bitterness is to drink poison thinking it will kill the other person. I want the toxins to be released. Because if I don't release the toxins, they will indeed destroy me. When I release the poison of what happened, then I may still have a scar. I may still have a limp. It may still affect me, but it doesn't define me. I have scars all over my hands, all over my body, from different times that I've been wounded. I have pains in my body, all over, from times somebody knocked me down when I was shooting a layup, or some time that I tripped over something, or some time that somebody did something where I got injured. But I let those scars remind me of what God can do for me emotionally. And that is, you can give me a limp where I can still get around.
Yes.
You can give me a scar not to remind me of pain, but to remind me it's better. I need to be released from all of that junk. I want to pray. And then I'm going to say something else and have you pray. But I want to pray that God would open us to His Spirit in the next few minutes. God, please, where we have had these hurts, where we have had these things, where we need to forgive You, forgive ourselves and forgive others. Allow us to be open to Your Holy Spirit to point out even uncomfortable things so that we can be freed from the evil that the enemy would want us to hold, and allow us to release the toxins of unforgiveness. In Jesus' name.